Episode 404, January 28th, 2019.
Fuck Robbie! Was that the beginning of the show, Robbie?
This is the Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
Fucking great show.
Listening to the Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you punk?
The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe Chat Room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
Welcome to the Robin Joe Show. I don't even know if we made... Robbie, did we kind of preview this, or are we just surprising the audience?
We may have mentioned that Rob wasn't going to be here this week, but I can't recall.
So Rob is in Chicago, and so today my co-host, she's a permanent fill-in on the Rob and Joe show, my fiance, Katie, we probably said your last name on here, and actually we're gonna talk about it in a clip from a very famous podcast. So I'd say, how about the beautiful Katie Push?
Hello.
Awesome. Off to a good start.
Wait, I thought he was going to play the clip. I didn't realize that this was just an exchange.
We're nowhere. We were mentioned on a very, very popular podcast, but we're going to get to that. First thing I want to do is, I guess, confess to my brother. How long have we known that Rob is not going to, wasn't going to be at today's show?
About 3 weeks, maybe.
And then you said to me, I remember it specifically, you're like, hey, will we have Katie to do that? And I go, yeah, we'll have Katie to fill in for Rob.
Correct.
So when do you think I let Katie know that she would be filling in for Rob today?
At 7 o'clock.
No, not at 7. It wasn't at 7, but
not far off.
Rob called me from Chicago on my way home from work.
I told you he wasn't going to be here.
And he's like, oh, yeah, man, telling me some stories. He's got a pretty cool story. If you go on Twitter, I mean, he tells a story, but maybe there'll be, I'll just tell it real quick. So apparently Rob was selling t-shirts outside of his gig with David Koechner, and somebody grabbed one of his t-shirts and started running away with it.
Oh.
And so the bartender, the manager, and Rob, they're all chasing him. I don't know what they're going to do. If they're catching, beat the shit out of him or whatever.
It's a t-shirt.
Yeah. I'd be like, you earned it, dude.
I'd be
right?
Like, what a dick. And then I just let him run.
Well, no, he ran, and then they chased him, and then he threw the t-shirt back and goes, you were really funny, and then kept on running.
Oh, so he was just a bro. He wasn't actually, like, some type of criminal.
I mean, it's worth the you losing the t-shirt for the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was sitting here thinking, because Katie wasn't mad at all. And I just said, hey, I need a favor. I need a fill-in. She said, okay. And then I'm like, you realize that if you called me... Like, thank God she just showed up and started talking, because if you called me at, 5:05 and said, hey, don't forget Katie's on the show tonight, and I told you I hadn't asked her, by the way, I would have lied.
Yeah, of course.
I'd have been like, are you eating right now?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right. So, yeah, I would have lied, and I would have said, oh, I got her, and then I would have scrambled. And then, by the way, if you said, oh, I'm sorry, I had plans, I couldn't make it, I would have pretended you were sick. I wouldn't have. There's no way. By the way, speaking of sick, so Rob knows the story because I told it on 98 Rock. But Katie.
Oh, my God.
Actually, I'll let you tell the story of it. But,
okay.
Yeah, good.
So something really bad happened. Well, let me start by saying getting married in 123 days. So very stressful. And I want to look really good and I want to be really healthy. So I went on to Amazon and I was ordering lots of vitamins. I ordered B12 and vitamin D and vitamin C. And when you're shopping on Amazon, sometimes right below it'll have like a people who bought this also bought these. So I just started clicking on a bunch of vitamins and think I spent like $60 or $70 on vitamins from Amazon. And when they got there, I open up the Amazon box in the morning and I just take one of each out. I just pop them in my mouth and I just go to work. And I get to work and I was just kind of like, I don't know, just not feeling a little bit off. So I just looked to see what I had taken and I saw the word suppository.
On one of the bottles. How many bottles did you have?
I think I had 6 bottles. And one of the bottles said suppository. So I was like, shit. I didn't remember ordering any suppositories. And I look at it and I definitely yeah. swallowed a fucking suppository. Now.
Now, by the way, I had never known this. Robbie, you know this story already. But Marcus, did you know that suppositories sometimes are for your anus and then sometimes they're for your vagina? Not your vagina, but one's vagina. Did you know that?
Well, yes, I knew that they went into one of those holes, yes, but the mouth.
Oh, I thought it was only, if somebody said suppository, I always assumed. Robbie, did you know, have you ever heard of a vaginal suppository?
I think I had. I'm not 100. I did also assume. Everybody else on that tech string that you started.
It was definitely, it said on the bottle, vaginal suppository.
Oh, so no, I believe it. I just didn't know.
Well, I just started kind of, I didn't panic at first. I actually went online and I Googled, which I thought maybe I'd be the only one to ever Google this, but I Googled, what do you do when you swallow a vaginal suppository?
Came up right away.
Well, no, it was like, oh, what did you swallow? So then I was like, oh, I have to type in what it was. And it's this chemical that is actually in like ant killer and roach killer and all these horrible things. And I took 600 milligrams of it. So when I typed that into Google, the first thing that popped up was call poison control immediately if ingested.
Now, by the way, normally I would take any opportunity to goof on you. But if you see it, you saw a picture of it, Robbie. It looked like a pill, right? That's an easy mistake to make. Would you agree?
Sure.
Yeah. It definitely looked like something that you would swallow and not shove up your cooch.
Yeah. And the pill bottle was like this pink, 100% natural, you know, whatever. So I call poison control at work. I walk into a meeting room that no one's in and I call poison control. And I'm like, what the fuck am I going to say to this guy? So he's like, hello, poison control. It's like, yes, I swallowed a vaginal suppository. 600
Did he
milligrams.
Laugh at you?
He didn't laugh.
He's going to laugh at you if you poison yourself.
He sounded so like just chill. He was like, okay, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 29 years old. All right, how much do you weigh? Okay. Do you have any like health issues? I'm like, no. And he's like, all right, well, here's what's going to happen. You're going to vomit a blue green substance. If you vomit for more than 3 to 4 hours, you have to go to the emergency room, but don't be alarmed if when you vomit, it's blue or green. Do you have any other questions? I was like, I don't know. No,
you did. You said, should I drink a bunch of water?
And he's like, oh, yes, please drink 8 to 10 ounces of water. I'm like, what the fuck if I didn't ask
he
you?
He wasn't going to include it. That is, but look, she's alive. Matter of fact, I think the only throwing up you did was the throwing up that you made yourself do. Is that right?
Well, I threw up a little bit later, but it wasn't blue green, and I think it was just from nerves. But I just sat there all day thinking I could die. I mean, people kill themselves by ingesting this stuff. So
they do?
Yeah, there's been like 2 reported deaths.
Pretty low.
I know.
But anyway, I was glad you were alive. But yeah, so Katie, and she didn't eat. What did you do with them? Throw them out?
Yeah, I threw them out.
The what purpose did they serve? What were they supposed to be for?
It was for like, I thought it was like a women's one a day. It was like in like good flora or something. You're supposed to,
it's like holistic or something?
I don't know. I said 100% natural. I swear, I thought it was like a women's one a day multivitamin.
No, I got why you ate it.
I know, but I don't even really, I couldn't tell you exactly what it was for. It wasn't on the top of my list when
I was. You should be able to find that out just by looking up what it was for.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. So also, I have a Katie also, let's just bring up Oscar real quick. In October, if you're a regular listener to this show, a longtime listener, you know that the Apple Butter Festival is it's October, right, Robbie?
It's the first weekend in October.
And last year, was it last year, Robbie, or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, Robbie took his dog to the Apple Butter Festival, and they have a dog. It's a competition, right? I mean, people place, correct, Robbie? And there's no talent required. It's just how attractive your dog is. Is that correct?
We didn't know there was going to actually be awards handed out when we joined.
But there were awards, and I believe, and if I'm wrong, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the only dog that didn't get an award was your dog. Every other dog was able to place in some way.
That is the story in a nutshell.
Okay. So I'm willing to bet that I'm going to take my dog to the Apple Butter Festival. I'm not going to put a t-shirt on him. I'm committing that I won't. I won't put a t-shirt on. And we'll see how he does. That's it. All right.
No, I thought Katie was going to pipe in.
Do
because
I have
I
any
think
say-
she's against this.
Do I have any say in
oh,
this?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, tell me, give me the downside. Why
Listen,
wouldn't I be?
I'm not even being facetious. I am worried, like, someone's going to want to take our dog because he's so beautiful.
Okay. That's not going to happen. I mean, we're there. I mean, you can't just take him. I mean, there's laws of this land. You can't just take something attractive.
I don't want to stress him out. I don't want him around these other
First of all, he likes being a,
dogs.
No, he likes being around other dogs. He likes being around other people.
Hey,
and
you
I
know
just,
how much he likes being around other dogs? Why do we know how much he likes being around other dogs?
We're talking about the dog park?
Yeah.
So we go to this dog park, and we actually go to three dog parks.
You're going to take bets on whether Oscar places.
Hey, Robbie,
he's going to place.
Throwing
Why
money
is
away.
This even like a conversation?
You're throwing
he's
money
going
away.
To place.
He is 100% going to place. He's probably going to win best in show.
I think we're missing something else, though, here. Because remember, based on what Katie said earlier, she has reason to fear. She's willing to give you up to marry the dog.
Yeah, I would 100%.
So it's very possible this dog could be too beautiful and somebody might steal him. I get it.
No, I wouldn't give Joe up. But if somebody came and said, you either don't marry Joe or we take Oscar away, I'd be like, I'm sorry, we're just going to be roommates. Like, I can't marry him if it means
Who
I don't
is
have
this?
My dog.
Bane? Who the hell's going to do that?
I don't know. Bane.
But anyway, So back to the dog park. So we think about this because our community doesn't have a dog park, which is criminal because there's this big giant area that nothing is being used for nothing. But it doesn't matter. So we have to go to other people's communities to go to their dog parks because, you know, we're not looking for a field. We're looking for other dogs. He likes to play with other dogs. And then I start thinking, because when people ask me, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, hey, we don't live here because we have a great dog. So it doesn't, you know what I mean? I'm not bothered. If somebody finds out, they're going to want our dog there, which, by the way, in 100% of the cases, they do. They want us there.
He's not an alpha dog. He is super friendly. He doesn't ever, like, nip or anything, and he loves to chase
he's
dogs.
He's highly attractive. Right.
Well, that too. But people take their dogs there to get their dogs to run. Oscar likes to chase the dog, so he, like, is really getting them.
But
he also
lets the other dogs hump him. He just gets dominated regardless of the size of the dog. So they like him. But it brought the question, Robbie, you have a dog park in your community. There's somebody else there and you like their dog, but they're using your dog park. Do you report them?
No. In a case like that, of course I would. You know,
Of course.
We
were bothered by the neighbor who had a car in their own driveway. You couldn't live with that.
They were violating the tax, not just using.
Well, how do you think that dog park? Yeah, you're paying for that dog park in your fees or whatever they do to that dog park.
Correct.
All maintenance. Yeah, you're paying for that.
Unless the dog was a terror or the people were not cleaning up their dog shit or something like that.
Okay, but the car down the street, they weren't affecting you in any way. They were probably nice people. I don't see the parallel here.
I don't know that they were nice people.
I am an animal lover, not a car lover.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Now
that's
backpedaling.
Man, by the way, God, what a horrible argument you just made. You're a dog lover, not a car lover. Look, your issue was not with the car. Okay? You didn't have a problem with the car. You didn't. These were human beings that were somehow skirting the system. And I get it. It bothered you because you pay into this system. I'm not really upset about that. What I'm saying is that
I get what you're saying.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. By the way, if you saw, let me ask you this too, Robbie. If you saw a dog like Oscar, clearly a zillion times more beautiful than your dog, would that make you jealous and not want, would that be a problem, you think?
No, of course not. I love animals and I welcome people who are animal lovers. I would not care.
Well, that's very nice of you. Well, I always tell Joe we should make something up. Like, we should say that we live there or or we're looking to like build a house over here or something. And every single time Joe's like, yeah, we don't live here, guys. So I hope that's okay.
How far do you guys have to drive to get this other?
Oh, like a mile.
Yeah, not even that. So, well, I'm not going to go through all, but it's literally right across Ritchie Highway from where we live. That's where the dog park is. And it's the world's largest dog park.
It's huge.
It's like the lawn at Merriweather. I don't know why they can't use this land for houses, but I'm glad that they don't. Anyway, how about we do this? Let's take a break. And on the other side, we have a murder mystery, which was on fire. It's every single show we've ever done, except for maybe the very first show has been an A+. And starting in about a week, we're never going to be able to do it again. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Rob and Joe Show.
Hi, this is radio personality and morning show host Justin Schlegel back to tell you about the newest interactive, hilarious whodunit from Die Laughing Productions, Hit Me 90s One More Time. In this show, I really get to stretch my acting chops. I play a radio personality. This time, we're taking you back to the 1990s. You're at a radio station promotional event where listeners battle it out for the hottest concert tickets of the year, Ace of Base. Everything goes smoothly and no one dies. Not actually, some unlucky person will not just be losing their religion, but meeting their fate. And top market DJ Slater in the Morning, that's me, must solve the murder. Hit Me 90s One More Time also stars two princes, Mr. Jones, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions comedians, and most importantly, you, the audience. Come celebrate the 90s with us, for all we really want to do is have some fun, jump around, and help you get through this semi-charm kind of life. Don't miss Hit Me 90s One More Time. Eat, drink, laugh, solve a murder.
Debuting February 27th at Ram's Head on Stage in Annapolis. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Hey, Katie, look on the screen. Is that what you bought?
No.
So, vaginal probiotic suppository. Balances. Oh, no, Katie doesn't have a yeast infection.
No, but, I mean, it's not far off from that, but it's not that. But it is, okay. It's...
Have they sold 7.2 billion of these things? What is it? What are they saying? What is that? 72 billion what?
72 billion vaginas.
That doesn't seem very likely. How many people are on the earth? All right. Anyway, so what we really try to do with our murder mysteries, which we're doing with Back to the 90s, Hit Me 90s One More Time, is we try to first, think of an idea that will make people want to come and see the show. That's our main goal. We learned a valuable lesson with, I think it was our fourth murder mystery, Superhero Homicide, and people didn't come, and then we just kind of noodled it together, and we said, oh, girls drag their husbands and boyfriends to this. The husbands and boyfriends then enjoy it. Husbands and boyfriends like superheroes, and they're not dragging their girls to plays, basically. So that we kind of, it took us one, you know, poorly marketed idea to figure that out. So, not this murder mystery we just written, but the one before, was a Michael Jackson based murder mystery. And that's because Michael Jackson's music was, pretty universally loved. He was probably the number one pop star in the history of the world.
Shimon.
And I think, I'm pretty confident that we're about 2 months away from them never playing another one of his songs on the radio.
No chance. Not in this day and age.
What I'm interested in your thoughts, and you know what we're talking about, right, Robbie? There's a documentary that was,
I do.
I just, and I assume, Marcus, you know as well, a documentary. It was almost, this is going to sound kind of weird, how apologetic we get to the, you know, I guess the music, his musical genius, because everybody's known this and suspected this. This is nothing that's just come about, right? I mean, it isn't just rumors. There have actually been accusations. And
it's been the longest denial of any... I mean, seriously, everybody's been in denial because there's never been this type of platform where there's a video of somebody saying, this happened to me, here's a story. Like,
it's very weird that... I mean, it's almost like even in prison, there's a hierarchy, and the worst in the very bottom are the kid touchers.
Yes.
They're at the very, very bottom rung in a prison of the antisocial.
Honestly, kid killers are higher than kid touchers. Do you agree?
Yeah, and that's, yes, I do agree with that.
Yeah, like child abuse, and then there's child sexual abuse.
Yeah, no, they're the lowest of the low in terms of the hierarchy of the prisons. But for whatever reason, and, you know, I mean, I'd be interested in what you guys thought. A blind eye, it wasn't even a blind eye. It's almost like, yeah, we know. Let's just not talk about it almost.
Or he was just that good.
Yeah, can you be that good at music that you could allow something like that? I remember when we wrote the Michael Jackson murder mystery. Robbie, do you remember this? Robbie goes, well, you have to address the, like, it's Meet the Press. Robbie was like, no, you have to address that he's been accused of being a pedophile. I was like, are you out of your fucking mind? No, we're going to actually not touch on that.
No pun intended.
The public is right. It's difficult to get past it. And yes, you could appreciate it when it occurred. But if you know that this guy was banging kids, and again, I guess we'll, I don't want to rush to judgment, but what's the rush? I mean, it's been, again, he's been accused of this, and, you know.
And don't we know that there have been out of court settlements that have happened?
There have been, but it's not just that. So he's actually the one who wouldn't get the benefit of the doubt. The kid would, because all you see about his life is that, of course, he has psychosis. He's never been out of the public eye from day one, and he's been a meteor. So he's never had real social personal relationships because everything has been based on fame.
But you know what? This is also going to be the biggest group of people that are also going to rally around him.
You think?
100%. There are already so many people going on and saying that this guy who did this, he's a liar. He has all these videos out of him denying any of that ever happened for a long, long, long time. He testified for him in court. And then now later on in this day and age, in this environment,
so
is
they're
going
to hang on to, I gotcha. They're going to, cause I, and by the way, I remember this when OJ was very, very first time, I've said this on the show probably before because I felt it strongly, when OJ was first accused of killing his wife. I know I've said this on, you know what I said? I said, please don't let this be true.
Right.
And I didn't have some great love for OJ Simpson, but you don't
you were
want
like,
your,
you were like, show me the proof, right?
Well, you don't want your see your heroes fall. So I really think that he had reached such an apex in terms of his what he did in pop culture that they said, we're going to excuse the worst thing that,
yeah,
the worst thing. Nobody said he's a kid toucher, but I forgive him because his music was great. They said, let's not even talk about it. But once it's thrown in your face to this degree, we think we're going to be able to do a Michael Jackson murder mystery?
No,
we're never
not
going to be able to
There's
do
also,
that.
This is also the exact right time where even an inkling of speculation, people write you off. I mean, seriously,
yes,
there can be literally no proof at all except for this is what happened to me. And it doesn't matter. You are done.
No, you're right. If it's even he said, she said, we're talking about this. James Franco is even really kind of those accusations. There's one girl that consensually filleted him. And then she said she felt a certain way. And he wasn't nominated for an Oscar, basically, as a result. He won the Golden Globe for Best Actor. And so, and by the way, I'm not, who knows? I don't know what happened or what didn't. But what I'm saying is that if they have this over, what's the word I'm looking for?
Cloud.
It's not even that. If they give you an overwhelming argument that this, what if it's 50% true? What if you have 50% doubt, but 50%, what if it's a coin flip of whether it happened? What are you going to do? You're going to start blasting his music? You're not. They're not even going to play him on radio stations anymore. I don't believe you'll be able to hear another one of his songs.
The real question is, will anybody see this documentary?
What?
Are you being serious? Are you serious?
Oh, God, oh. Man, we watched a couple pretty great documentaries. Have you seen the Fire Festival documentary, either one of you guys?
No.
So
yeah.
You're aware of it, Robbie?
No, what is this? Tell me.
Well, basically, there was this big festival, and the potential of a big festival that they had almost floated the idea of, and before there was any infrastructure, anybody had signed to it, they sold all the tickets, and the tickets were in a place where you couldn't basically get there easily. They couldn't house the amount of people that they had sold tickets to. They hadn't booked any acts, and of course, the whole thing falls apart. The problem is I knew it fell apart. And I'm just sitting here watching this fucking knowing that it's just every fuck up after fuck up after fuck up. I actually didn't really enjoy it that much because I was just so stressed out about it. And when I talked to, I was on 98 Rock this morning, when I talked to the producer, Mike Anderson, I told him that. He goes, I felt the exact same way. He said he couldn't sleep at night thinking about how bad they fucked up that festival.
I couldn't decide whether this guy was a complete fucking idiot or a complete genius. This guy who, like, he's just, he's a marketing genius.
You know who he reminded me of?
The Winklevoss twins?
No, the Winklevoss twins are highly successful. No,
he's also highly successful.
I don't know if he is now.
Well, okay, I mean...
But you're right. He was able to somehow get his hands on $25 million. You're right. I don't have the ability to do that. But he reminded me of Dan Ninen.
A fraud.
Right, so...
Yeah, but you know what? He was a little bit more legitimate than Dan Ninen.
But
he could purchase a lot of things, but then he ran out.
He wasn't more legitimate... He was just a 10 times the scale.
Yeah.
You know, they said he's a pathological liar, which I believe him to be. What was that guy? I can't remember his name.
Billy something and Ja Rule, both of them.
Yeah, but Ja Rule is still trying to do. By the way, Katie and I have seen
Ja Rule. Doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
You know what's funny is that this festival is supposed to have a bunch of bands. I'd only heard of one of them.
Blink-182.
Yeah. But Ja Rule, when they told the story about this festival and that one of the partners was Ja Rule, I'm like, oh, this story's 10 years old.
No, yeah.
Like, has Ja Rule done anything in the last...
This. I mean, he's a promoter now. So he's not really doing much music, but he's a promoter and he's clearly... He owns the company Fyre, which is how Fyre Festival started.
Shouldn't he be in some trouble? Ja Rule?
I mean, what did he do? Aside from just have a friend
believe
who...
Believe this other guy?
Yeah.
He's in the lawsuit.
He is? What did he do?
Well, he's an owner.
Yeah, he was named in the lawsuit as damages for those people who had bought tickets and then, of course, got nothing for it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was funny when they had those business meetings and they were, like, legitimate people in there that clearly had high intellect and business savvy, and then Ja Rule would be in there talking. I'm like, dude, just please, just let the adults talk. It was absolutely ridiculous. But anyway,
I would totally bang that yoga guy from there.
Which guy was the yoga guy?
You know, the guy with the ponytail.
Oh, come on. Relax over there. Jeez.
Oh, my God. The yoga guy and the dog? You are...
She
might not
bang the dog.
She
said she'd marry the dog. Yeah, he's pretty good looking. So, I wouldn't blame her. If I caught her in bed with Oscar, I'd be fine with it. What could I do? Another documentary, by the way, which you guys should check out is... I don't know what it's... I think it's called The Bill Murray Stories. Have you guys seen that?
No.
So,
no.
You guys know that there's a zillion rumors around about things that Bill Murray did. He knocked on your door. He showed up with a pizza. You know, he tackled you in the hallway. He showed up at your wedding shoot. So what they did was they took all these. By the way, you got to get through the first 5 minutes because they do these staged conversations, which made me think it was going to be bullshit. They almost lost me. So I will say to the creator of this, dude, come on. But anyway, so about 5 minutes in, they start trying to corroborate these stories, and I don't want to give anything away, but everyone is true. But anyway, check that out. I think it's called The Bill Murray Stories, and we absolutely loved it.
It makes you just feel so good.
I was thinking about
the whole time. It makes you feel so good.
All right, we were talking about this. So the coolest people in Hollywood, the coolest people.
Bradley Cooper.
I can't get on board that he's one of the coolest people in Hollywood. He's cool. I mean, I think he's cool.
Matthew McConaughey.
I would say the three that I believe to be elite. McConaughey, Jeff Bridges, Bill Murray.
Bill Murray right now, I don't agree.
What? I think he's the coolest of the three.
No, he is the coolest of the three, but I guess you're saying of all time?
Well, of course. Well,
I wouldn't put Matthew McConaughey in if we're talking all time.
Okay,
we're talking about
on.
Currently who are the coolest people in Hollywood.
All right. All time, what are you going to go with? Paul Newman? I mean, I guess I'm talking about alive today.
Okay.
Right? So I would put you, you tell me somebody's cooler than Bill Murray. I mean, do you think Justin Timberlake is cooler than Bill Murray? He's not.
No, I don't think he's cooler than Bill Murray. I think Zac Efron is pretty fucking cool.
He's
though.
Not cooler than Bill Murray. He's better looking than Bill Murray.
Bill Murray
Look, guys that get themselves, I even like the John Cena's of the world and the Dwayne The Rock Johnson's.
No, you're right.
I like those guys.
It depends on what you call cool, too. Like, it's cool that you can't just call up Bill Murray. He has one.
That's super
He has an
cool.
answering service, basically. So that's fucking cool. But Jeff Bridges is cool because he's the dude.
Let me tell you one story, Robbie. I think you'll tell me if you think this is cool. First of all,
I would put Robert Duvall on the list.
Robert Duvall, very cool.
Bobby Doo's too old to be cool now, but
yeah,
I think 10 years ago he was definitely on this list.
I hear you.
No, he's pretty cool. By the way, you know, Bobby Duvall has I think the delta between him and his wife is greater than Katie and I, right?
It is indeed.
Yeah, he's got an even younger wife than I'm going to have.
He's Bobby Doo.
Well, yeah,
course.
I'm just Oscar's dad.
Sorry.
But so Bill Murray, he owns I think he owns two minor league baseball teams, but the way that the creator of this documentary actually got to meet Bill Murray was to go to the season opener of his own baseball team, figured he'd show up. Who do you think Bill Murray showed up with to the game?
No clue.
Nobody. He just walked in. He just walked
That's
in.
So cool.
He
man.
Just walked in, which is great. And another one story, and then I won't ruin any more of it for you, although it's probably done at this point. But when he went to see the Cubs play the Indians for their first World Series victory in 103 years or whatever it was, guess who he took with him?
Nobody.
No, he did take somebody.
Oh, this is so cool.
He had an extra ticket, and he saw some lady out front looking for a ticket, and he said, hey, you want to go with me? And he just took some random lady.
She looks like some 55-year-old mom that was like, it was the coolest thing I ever saw.
And he just took her to the game, and they fucking walked into the – and she watched Game 7 with Bill Murray. We watched the Cubs win the World Series.
I love it.
I loved it.
All right, so very, very
– I don't have to watch the movie now.
No, no. There's at least four more things that happened. So – there's a show, we've mentioned it a few times on this show because their local boys made good. Nick Mullen is a local comic. Stavros, it was Halkius, is that how you say his last name?
I have no
Sounds
idea.
Correct.
All I can hear is Nick Mullen.
Yeah, and the third guy's name is Adam. What's his last name?
Don't know, Jewish something.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's from New York, though. I don't think he's from this area. But Nick is a guy, we recognize his talent right away. I remember when he was very young. Robbie, you probably do, too. I don't know if you remember him when he was...
Vaguely.
Yeah, just coming up. Stavros, he was a little... After my time, when I stopped doing stand-up for that long period of time, that's kind of when he made his mark here. But both those guys are very, very funny, and they have a podcast called Cumtown. And
it is so fucking funny.
It's almost as funny as the Rob and Joe show.
Oh, my God.
But I think their Patreon, they pull in somewhere around like $40,000 a month to do this show. So they're not doing too badly, these guys. But anyway, they gave... us a shout out. They were actually talking about somebody from our murder mystery, Sean Gabbard. Exactly. Rob, you have a clip?
I do.
All right, play that thing.
People want to know. They want to know, did Sean Gabbard have hair?
I mean, he did. Yeah. The answer is yes at some point.
Oh, look at this website. I don't even know what this is. Die Laughing Productions, but it's Schlegel, Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, Tommy Cimbazzo.
Oh, Tommy Cimbazzo.
Eric Woodworth,
boy.
Sean Gabbard, Frankie French, Kim Ambrose, Dylan.
Oh, R.I.P. to a
Rest
real
in
one.
Peace. Fucking real
Rest
one.
In pussy.
Yeah. I don't know who this guy is.
What's his name?
R.J. Jackson.
I don't know.
Yeah, no idea. Talk.
I'll fuck with Talk.
I fuck with Talk, too. Katie P.
Katie Poosh. P E U S S C H. Nick is laughing at the word P E U S C H. It looks like her name is Katie Poosh. I'm trying to get some Pooshy. I
mean, yeah, no, let's turn that Poosh up.
Yeah, let me see that Poosh.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure she's funny.
Good name. Yeah. Sounds like pussy.
The account's already deleted on Twitter for me just laughing that one time.
Man, Katie got the most run.
Oh, my God. I'm so in love.
Yeah, no. Katie, that's her favorite podcast, even more than the one that she's on right now.
Nick Mullen has this way of sounding so dumb, but so fucking smart.
Hey, do you know... who's made a guest appearance on this show?
Nick Mullen.
Nick Mullen. Robbie, do you remember that?
Yes, way back in the day.
Do you remember the first thing that he talked about?
Was it about Rob and his girlfriend? Something about Rob?
Yeah, Rob was trying to fuck his girlfriend.
Yeah.
What?
Yes, that's 100% true. When Nick was on the
girlfriend.
Well, no, this is back. Listen, when I met Nick, if he was old enough to drink, he just got there.
That's so hot.
Stop. So he was just young, but he had this girlfriend, and she was very, very hot, and she was hot in the way that, you know, this is no reflection on you, so just imagine that you're not in this equation, but she was very slutty looking, and she had a bunch of, you know, tattoos, and she wore makeup that made it look like she liked to have sex. Anyway, but she was also very hot.
Like porn star-y looking.
But she may, yes, that's a good way to describe it, but she was very hot, and of course, she was
Did
also...
Did she look like someone like Gramps would follow?
No. Well, yes.
On Instagram?
Actually, real quick, as an aside, is Gramps still following the porn star?
I can't find his Instagram. I don't know his Instagram name.
Okay. Well, you're not following him?
It's not like Gramps. He doesn't know how to change it to like a name. So it's like 14693. Like
that's his name?
Like account number.
Can you change it from that?
I can't.
Can somebody change their...
I think so.
Okay, yeah, you might want to have him change it from... No, he's going to find him if that's his name.
I don't know. I can't right. change it for him.
No. Well, you could if... Whatever, we talk about this later.
Okay.
Anyway, so apparently... Now, I'm not saying whether or not this is true or not, but I believe it was true. That she was very flirtatious, and she was also very attractive, and so I think Rob saw her as attainable... And I guess he didn't really have enough respect for Nick or know him well enough to care whether or not he fucked his girl, I guess.
But I bet you Nick was so cool he didn't give a fuck.
Well, no, of course he cared. But what was funny is that Nick was going to come back into town, and we have a mutual friend, Norm Wilkerson. And he goes, yeah, well, when you're in town, you should probably see if Rob can't, you know, get you some gigs. And Nick was like, I don't really know if Rob and I are that cool because he tried to fuck
my
girlfriend.
Oh, my God, serious question. Who would win in a fight?
Between Rob and Nick Mullen?
Yeah.
Nobody would really get hurt, I don't think.
Nick would totally win.
Would you relax over there? Jeez.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Anyway, but yeah, so Rob definitely tried to. I'll let Rob tell his own version. He's going to deny it, but I would bet there's probably some truth in it.
Speaking of, can we talk about this partnership that you and Rob have?
Oh, yeah. So maybe we should talk about this on the other side of the break. I know we talked about some movies already, but Katie and I saw Stan and Ollie this weekend, and she saw a little bit of a parallel between Rob and I. So we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. It's the Rob and Joe Show.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded Sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob looped... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
The Rob and Joe Show.
By the way, Meh Colby, I believe is new. I know that Meh Colby has been a fan of ours, but I think this is the first time that I believe Meh Colby is a boy. So I believe this is the first time he is in chat.
Are you saying that right?
Meh. Meh is like meh. M-E-H. That's what that means.
Yeah, I mean, I know what meh means. I just don't know if... Is it McColby?
No, I'm pretty sure it's meh Colby. I'm pretty sure. Like, he's just meh. That's my guess.
I think it's like M-C.
No, M-E-H.
Like, it's a long way of saying McColby. Whatever. This is a fucking dumb conversation. All right. What were we
saying? Look, I'm saying it right is what he's saying. I'm just telling you what it says here in chat.
Maybe he means me.
Me. I got
okay.
you.
Anyway.
So we saw this movie, and when you can talk about the premise of it, or at least, sorry, not the premise, the part of the storyline that reminded you of Rob and I. Like, so what we saw was Stan and Ollie. It's the story of Laurel and Hardy, which
right.
you've never heard of,
no,
right?
No, I had never heard of that right. before. It was like black and white times. And it's basically horrible comedy.
That's one thing, the takeaway is like, Most of the things were like
Three Stooges kind of.
Yeah, things hitting you on the head. Yeah.
Yeah.
And bad dancing.
Right, but people went fucking crazy for it.
They started laughing from Jump Street.
Yeah. So basically it's this comedy duo and they were a huge hit. And then at one point their contract, I guess, were scattered and one moved on to something and one burnt a bridge and they sort of had to do some. One of them had to go off and do a different movie.
The fat one.
Right. Fast forward a whole bunch of years, they kind of get back together to do another, like a
tour.
And the one is still upset with the other one for going and doing another, some creative project with somebody else. And I'm like, God, this kind of fucking reminds me of Rob and Joe.
Because Rob's always doing shit with Ramin and making the regulars.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
It's almost just
and
like,
being on those podcasts and trying to be on urban stations and shit like
well,
that.
Well, no, but I mean, I know it's because you guys have different, like you have all this other job and, you know, but Rob's life is comedy, so he clearly has to, you know, partner up with different people. But like you, it's not a really a loyalty thing. It's just more so like when I think of you, your partner to me is Rob.
Mm-hmm.
That's your go-to, your number one.
Yes, if I had an idea, I'd take it right to Rob, yes.
But does Rob feel that way?
No, he doesn't
I don't
feel
think
that
he does. Like right now he's with Koechner. Like that's his number one. That's his A1.
Well, there's probably some that look. I do believe there's a lot. It's a lot harder to be in a position that he's in with David Koechner than it is to be in the position. I don't know how exactly I want to say this. Let me try to be careful with it. So I have his back in a way that David Koechner doesn't. So he probably knows, all right, well, if you can do this and I can't, or I can do this and you can't, then we'll just remove ourselves from it, but still be a part of it. But with David Koechner, it's probably, I don't know that it's fragile, but what if he says two times in a row he can't do it and all of a sudden that's over with? So he might, I wouldn't say take me for granted, but he knows
I mean,
that our
home
relationship.
Base.
Yeah, that's
you're
a different,
his home
yeah,
base,
it's a different animal.
But I think you wouldn't necessarily go creatively do something without Rob. You always want to involve him.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I do.
Right.
And that might also be like, I might as well go involve him. Instead of trying to do it on my own, which I don't want to do. By the way, I could have done this murder mystery on my own, but I'd rather take half the work and give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Probably would have been. I could have asked Rob to do it and paid him a penance. No, I'm kidding. Actually, I think Rob's written the last two murder mysteries, so I don't know if I could have done it without him.
Yeah, it sucks he wrote that Michael Jackson one.
Yeah, you're right. The Michael Jackson one he did write.
Sorry, Rob.
Yeah, this one, I've added a little bit to this one, but for the most part, this is Rob's baby. You know, it's weird. I'm going to say one other thing about this new murder mystery, which I think is going to be hilarious. Do you agree, Robbie?
Yeah, I already said it. I thought it was the funniest on paper of all of them.
Oh, really?
But yes. Eric nice. Woodworth doesn't take his clothes off in this.
What?
He doesn't. And Rob,
we need to fix that.
And Rob,
well, he is going to be partially dressed in one part.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Can you loosely allude to it?
When they sing the Ace of Base song, something's going to happen.
Oh, I didn't know that, because I even said something to Rob. I go, well, when does Eric's clothes come off, right?
It's not written in the script. It was just was how it will be performed and in what manner.
Okay, yeah, because, I mean, that's people come to expect that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to go to a fucking Van Halen concert and Eddie Van Halen's playing the drums. You know what I mean? You want him doing... Speaking of that, I get very stressed out about anything that Robbie expects of me. So, not so stressed out to ask you earlier to do this show, Katie, but nevertheless. So, but there's a lot of production that Robbie wants me to do for this show.
Wait a second. A lot?
Well,
a lot.
Hold on.
It's two pieces.
No,
I'm
it's
doing
three.
100 pieces.
I understand that, Robbie, but that's within your aptitude, okay? Right. We do what is within our skill set. So, you've asked me to make sure Justin reads the ad for this.
Which is every show.
Which listen, you have to pick a lane. Is it not difficult or is it commonly done? So anyway, whatever. I have to ask him and I also have to produce it. Because not produce like a producer would do, but I have to deliver it. If not, then I'm going to be the one responsible because I was the one that asked Justin for it. So have that. I also need a piece of production done which is kind of stressful too, to ask somebody to do that because, you know, I mean, I'm asking for a favor of somebody who gets paid to do that for the station.
You could have said no.
No, I'm not saying no. Robbie.
Enthusiastically said, anyway, no problem.
Okay, anyway, listen, that's not what this is about, but...
Keep going.
Okay, so anyway, so... But the other one is a piece of a traffic report that we need to get. So I asked the lady who does traffic for 98 Rock and BAL, Liz Drabeck, if she would read this traffic report. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I was there, I literally walked into her little room. Remember, Marcus, you just asked me about this beforehand. And I literally had to lay everything out for her and ask her if she'd do it. And she looked extremely excited to be a part of it. Right. So I'm like, cool. Maybe I'll give it to her before I leave and see if she can't just do it before I'm even out of here, right? So I walk back into the studio. I email her immediately the script. I email it to her within 10 minutes because I asked you for it, but then it was within the script. So I emailed that to her. I'm like, oh, cool. She's going to get it back to me right away. She did, and I go, all right. So, of course, the whole weekend went by. Monday went by. She emailed me at 4:07 saying, oh my God, I am dying. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen. But she didn't do it. So I got that email and I'm like, did she think she had attached it? Like, I didn't know how to respond to that to let her know. Well, yeah, but can you get it to me? So here's my attempt. Tell me if I did all right. I said, she said, it's the funniest thing she's ever seen. I said, I know, right? I don't know where you live, but the show debuts in Annapolis at the Rams. So I offer her free tickets. So I said, I know it's hilarious. Then I offer free tickets and I go, hey, I appreciate you doing this. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
I don't know if you were direct enough.
No, what would you have done? Said, okay,
I would have
great.
Said my usual response.
Hear what Robbie
if there
would
was,
say.
If there was an audio attachment, I did not receive.
That's what you would say?
Yeah. Yes. Robbie's not a good person to ask. He doesn't have great bedside manner.
Act like it could have been an oversight or they just forgot to attach it. That's all.
You don't think me saying, I appreciate you doing this, I'm looking forward to hearing it, is doing the same thing, letting you know that
yeah.
I didn't get
yeah.
it? And
yep.
it's also
yeah.
a lot more subtle.
I think you need to be a little in between you and Robbie.
Okay, give me something that I should have said
Maybe
differently.
Maybe you could have been like, hey, by the way, I'd love to offer you tickets to this show on 2/27.
I don't feel comfortable doing it until you produce
I'm not sure if you... meant to attach something in your last email or not, but I didn't receive it. Let me know if I just missed it or if you're not done yet.
By the way, that is the way to get what you want. It's so funny. Katie and I had lunch with Uncle Mike, who we mentioned on here. He's the guy who sold the $300,000 coin.
Yeah, I think he's in chat.
Oh, he is. Anyway, so...
Not the real Uncle Mike.
Right. So we had... dinner with him, and he did something that was either about the food or something, and it was assertive. And I remember my father, he's at Popeyes, he's like, hey, could you throw an extra biscuit in there, whatever. I'm like, if you're willing to ask, you get more things.
Yeah,
but I don't know, I'd rather
like Frank Push.
Right, but and it's weird because people like Frank Push.
Yeah,
and he's a super assertive.
Yeah, he sometimes does it for comedic effect a little bit, but sometimes
Hello?
I think he just likes to see how far he can push things.
There he is, Frank. But you know, I also, I don't know, I've said this before.
I don't have it in me to send back food, or I don't. If I don't like something, I'm not sending it back.
It's a lot easier to send back food than it is for me to say to this person that I kind of have this peripheral relationship with, hey, where's this thing that you were asked that I asked you to do for
no,
free?
No, I think you did a good job then. If you don't know her as well as, you know, yeah, you're right. I think you did fine.
But here's the thing. I don't care about receiving it right away. I only care about producing it for Robbie because, you know, he'll make 900 arguments as
right.
to why I should have already had it to him by then. But anyway, that's what I did, Robbie. That's where my comfort level was.
Okay. I'll have to get a plan B in place because it sounds like she's not coming.
Oh,
back.
My God.
Dude, first
Give
of all,
her
that's, jeez. Okay. Hold on. You think you have to have a plan B in place?
I do, because it doesn't sound like she's like on top of things as some other
But she
people.
Responded
to
the email.
I know. That doesn't mean we're going to get
it.
See,
this is exactly what I'm talking about. I don't want to feel this way.
Why? Yeah, I don't have to feel anyway. You made an attempt. I appreciate it. And if we can't get it out of her, you know, it was your guy's idea to go and approach her, not mine.
No, so. I understand that. But then I do have the pressure of if I'm not able to deliver it. By the way, you know what we do if I'm not able to deliver it? You know, Katie records it or something. You know what I mean? We could get Marianne to do it. Like,
oh my
we
God,
can...
I have a terrible voice.
No, you don't. But I mean, you could, what I mean, we could get it done. Yes, clearly we'd rather have the traffic girl, but really, I thought I did a pretty good job.
Marianne would do it in like a...
Yeah, let's get Marianne to do it.
No, let's get the traffic girl to do it.
She would do it in her 20s voice, right?
Let's get the girl who agreed to do it, who responded the next working day and said it was hilarious. Let's get her to do it. Let's get the professional.
I think she's going
to
do it.
Of course she's going to do it. Marcus, I'm interested in what you have to say.
I don't think you've been assertive
oh
enough.
Oh, my God.
What would you have done? By the way, you know she's doing this for free.
I totally understand that, but you did ask her for this, so I would simply say, love the fact that you enjoy it. We think it's hilarious, too. By the way, just checking back in on that audio, if you've got it,
no,
please send it over to us because we're rehearsing tomorrow. Something.
I wouldn't respond
well
to that.
Put some timeline on her so she gets some additional pressure.
I wouldn't respond well to that.
You guys probably get things done like in a manner that I don't. I can't. That's just, I'm not built that way.
You know what I would say if I read that? If I read what Marcus typed verbatim to me,
I'd be like,
who the fuck is this guy? I'm helping him out and he's rushing me along. Okay, just go find somebody else. No, you give her another, you give her another 48 hours until end of day Wednesday. If you don't hear back from her, you find a plan B then.
Yeah, but the other thing about that is, so you are, if somebody, let's say I agree to do something for you, right? Not you're a bad example. You're a bad example. Let's say I agreed to do something for somebody with a relationship I have that's as peripheral as a relationship that I have with Liz Drabeck from I got to be careful because Robbie will just put her name in there. She'll hear this and then she won't do it for us.
Or maybe she will when she hears this.
Yeah, but then she's going to be mad at me.
Hey, Liz, get on it.
No, because I'd rather make a friend and wait and be stressed for a week while she got it to us than I would for her to think that I'm...
Robbie, what is the deadline?
There is no deadline.
Okay, well then what do you need a plan B for?
Honestly,
the deadline really should be the end of January because we're going to be doing a bunch of murder mysteries in February. I have time in January to deal with all this stuff. That's my stressor. But let me just tell you a quick story here. Marcus was having some computer problems with his home studio equipment. And so I checked in with him. I said, Marcus, if for some reason you can't get this to me, just please let me know. I'll figure something out. You know, and Marcus knows I love him as the go-to announcer on a murder mysteries. Guess what he did? He sent it to me in like 2 hours.
Yeah, but
later.
We have a personal relationship with Marcus. He's a friend and he's also part of the show. That's a lot different.
That's why I say go to Marianne. We know her better. I would rather have it sooner than get the exact thing that we want.
Well, why wouldn't we? Well,
if she delivers and hers is better, then I'll use her.
Jeez, it's problematic because if.
Let me tell you something. There's two versions of the Foreigner song at the beginning of our show. Two versions. I just chose to use the better one, even though it came in a little bit later.
No, I hear what you're saying. And you know what we have? We have Katie right here, and Katie can say, hey, it's blah, blah, blah from 96.4 the
best. But Katie's in the show. I'd rather use a different
one. Okay, my point is that we can get it done at any time. All we need is a girl. We can do it. But we have somebody who you asked. I told you I was going to ask on Friday. I did. She sent me an email about it on Monday. The very next day. And now you're like, not good enough.
That doesn't do us any good.
No, it does. It does.
I think it's actually better to have me as a backup because what if Marianne does it tomorrow and then Ann Drabeck comes in 2 days later, then you have to not use one of them and that's even kind of awkward. Because then they both put in the work.
Yeah, Katie can just hold her nose and do it.
There
it is.
It's going to take about 5 minutes to record this.
Okay.
Maybe 10.
But you understand
and
what I'm
so,
saying.
But I'm the most
no,
convenient
I do understand
option
what you guys
for you,
are saying.
Robbie.
You understand about Robbie making me stressed?
Robbie,
you understand what I'm saying?
I am the most convenient option. You want to wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning? I'll walk down the hall of my house and record it with you.
Exactly. So my point is this. My preference would be I have the whole thing produced. I have Katie's voice laid in there. So I have it. I have it. I'm done. I don't have to worry about it. But if the Liz Drabeck version comes in and it's perfect and I just take Katie's voice out and I put the one, new one in,
fair
no
enough.
Problem.
Would you
but
like that's
it's much
accent.
Easier for me to do that than to have to worry and not have the
okay.
have anything.
Okay, I hear you. The first show's 30 days away. And what you're saying I get, it could be, if we don't have it by the end of the week, we'll have Katie record it. And then you'll have it February 2nd.
And you want to know what? If you had sent me Katie doing the read, I would have been great.
and I would have been happy. I wouldn't have.
No, I got it. You'd rather have it than have to wait a little bit. Hey, if you would have been in charge of Fyre Festival, it would have gone off.
Can I bill you? Can I bill you if you use me?
Nope, you can't. You can't bill us. All right, let me see what else we have to talk about. We got 8 minutes left.
Can I talk about how we went and saw my nephew yesterday? Actually, do you want to talk about that, or do you want to talk about the wedding dress situation?
No, we'll talk. Well, there's no
Which
wedding
one?
Dress. So we'll talk about your nephew. So her nephew. So by the way, I got roped in. I love her nephew. It's not that. It's that her nephew started walking up the stairs. Okay. Now the stairs. It's two flights of stairs that go up. I mean, it's probably 30 feet in the air, right? That's how far away we are. So I have to follow him because how old is he?
Two.
Okay, he'll be three soon, right?
He'll be three in June.
So it's 2.5. So you can't just let him walk up the stairs, but nobody's following me. So I have to walk all the way up the stairs with him. So now I'm upstairs with a 2.5-year-old and there's no adults. I'm there. I can't leave. He won't come back downstairs. He'll throw a fit if I take him back downstairs. And I can't leave a kid upstairs, or then if he falls, then the family never forgives me. So I'm stuck upstairs. Well, if I'm going to watch your kid, I get to play with this kid in the manner that I like to. And
sounds really weird. You need to.
Well, that, you know, like, for example, he's pretended he was running like an ice cream stand. And every time he gave me some ice cream, I would say it was disgusting and I would throw it. Okay. Now that might make him, when he gets his own food, thinking that's funny, throw it. But that's their problem. I'm not, you know what I mean? You're the one that left me with your kid, right?
He would give him a bite of, my nephew Henry, would give Joe a bite of this imaginary ice cream, and Joe would say, "Ew, that's disgusting," and just yell it, right? Henry thinks it's the funniest thing ever. So now this little dick is eating his food and telling his mom how disgusting it is.
Well, the other thing I would do is...
Oh, that's awesome.
So he likes the garage clicker. He likes to let it, you know, press the button. So I go, "Oh, you want to use my clicker?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I go, "No!" And I won't let him use it or whatever. I yank it away.
And then Joe's like, "Ask me nicely. Say, can you say please?" And Henry goes, "Pretty, pretty, please, can I use your garage clicker?" And Joe goes, "No!" Yeah. And he thinks it's the funniest... thing in the world.
So I'm basically was teaching him to, you know, not share, and I was teaching him to throw food, and I was affected. Now they're upset. I got a comment, and I also got a text about his behavior now, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, that's what you get for leaving me alone with them. That's on you, right?
No, you need to do better.
I'm not the kid's
You're
dad.
You're the adult, though.
Right, but look. And
You're the
is,
uncle. I've By the way, this, he calls you JoJo. He loves you.
I've learned this from the great Irene Faber, all right? And that is my grandmother. And she's like, it's not really my responsibility to teach you anything. You know what I mean? I'm just here to buy you toys and make you thrilled to be here.
Okay, but also bad habits are not something you're supposed
to
be teaching.
No, they can fix them. There was always a court jester, right? That was there for relief.
Let me also say that my sister-in-law is 8.5 months pregnant. So
yeah, it might not be the best time to be doing stuff like that, but, you know.
Well.
Too late now. I mean.
Now he's an ass and it's all Uncle Joe.
Nah, they should be able to work on that kid and get that out of him in a couple weeks, I would imagine.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, but we got to wrap it up after that.
Are we seriously going to the Apple Butter Festival this year?
Well, no, I haven't been to the Apple Butter Festival in a long time. So
it's been about 5 or 6 years since you've been.
So, and I know my father, my kid's grandfather, he'd probably appreciate it if we showed up every, you know, once in a while. I don't think we've ever been one time, right?
Yeah, you got to go once a decade.
All right,
yeah.
Well, I am definitely in for this year.
And, all right, we'll go this year. And, of course, Robbie will, because you know how he acts when he gets a new girlfriend. He's going to want to show her off. So she'll definitely be there. So we'll all get to hang out at the Apple Butter Festival.
We'll be married then.
We'll be married.
I'll be Mrs. Robinson.
Oscar will win the Best in Show.
Can't wait for that.
Are there, like, nice hotels there on there for Oscar?
Well, there has to be dog-friendly. Well, yes. Actually, I was going to say that
the Town Place Suites is my go-to.
What? Okay, so that does not sound nice.
So
it is very nice, Katie. You have no idea. It's very nice.
All right, I trust you.
And it's probably like the second newest hotel in the area.
So I was going to say that Robbie always brings his dog, so that means they have to have a dog friendly. But Robbie's been known to sneak his dog into places, so I didn't know whether or not.
Never a hotel because, you
know. The consequences are too high.
No, it's not that, that they'll kick you out. Yeah, probably. But no, he'll sometimes bark. So, you know, it's like you can't hide a dog that easy.
Couldn't you pretend it was your girlfriend? All right, that's it. That's the show. And by the way, if it seemed a little scattered, it's because Katie didn't know she was going to be on the show until
what,
about...
What, I suck tonight? Is
no,
that what you're saying?
No, I said scattered. By the way, I drive the ship when Rob's out.
Are you saying you didn't think I did a good job tonight?
No, I thought it was a little scattered is all that I was saying.
Really sorry. I'm sorry I don't do this very often. I didn't get to prepare because you didn't tell me that we were going to have the show tonight.
Did you guys feel that that was an attack on Katie?
No.
Marcus?
I'm yes,
so
absolutely.
Fucking annoyed.
You know, Marcus usually sides with me. That's his back-to-back not siding with
no,
me.
No, Marcus knows it was a little bit of a shot at
well,
me.
It definitely wasn't a shot at my betrothed. I love you very much. Oh, I love you too, Katie. I was talking to Oscar. We will be at the Bright Box Theater on the 9th. Katie will be in that show as well.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
I don't know.
I think you are. And what are we doing on the 9th, Robbie? What show?
Newly Dead Gang.
Yeah, you're definitely your sign girl in that show. And then we will also be at Magoobies on February 14th, also doing the Newly Dead Game. But if you want to see our brand new murder mystery, Ram's Head in Annapolis, February 27th, come check out Hit Me 90s one more time. I guarantee you there will be a kick-ass traffic drop in that show, and we'll see you then. Later.
Later. Sorry it was so scattered.